Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice what the hymn writer said. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, it's now. We don't wait to get to heaven to worship the Lord. We do it now. And we tell the Lord how much we love him. Hallelujah. It's now, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory to the Savior, our Lord and our God. Hallelujah.
With blessings and honor and glory.
There is no one like you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, we bless you.
There is no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord.
We bless you.
You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Father, we will give you all the glory through Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of lifting our voices to you. Lord, of giving you that which you are worthy of. Lord, how can we not, when you have done so much for so many of us? We ask, Lord, your blessing now, Lord, upon your word, that you'll bless it to our hearts. Bless the one who brings it this morning. In the name of and for the glory of Jesus.
Yes, the center.
And everyone says,
amen.
Friends, thank you. Please be seated. It was last year, the second half of last year, that our sister Mary Hamilton mentioned to me that she was doing an on-course line on the internet, which was worldwide, regarding worship. And she's letting me know now and again, asking how's things going, and telling me a little bit about it. And coming towards the end of it, and I said, well, Mary's our worship team leader. And I said to Mary, okay, Mary, once you've finished the course, a little heads up, I want you to prepare a message for sometime in the new year on worship to bring to the assembly. And felt today was this morning that she would come and do that today. So I'm going to ask our sister Mary to come, without further ado, to come and share what the Lord has laid upon her heart this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Mary.
Jane.
I forgot, Jane does the Bible and forgot. Sorry.
Mary asked me to do the Bible reading this morning. We're going to read a very powerful part of the Word of God, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. It's page 1879 in the Pew Bible in front of you. We'll be going to three different chapters, but they're small verses, but mighty and powerful and impactful. Let's stand to read God's word. When it comes to the worship part of it, feel free to whisper those words. The four, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in earth and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Chapter 7, verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
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 Please be seated. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, I am not going to be preaching on the book of Revelation. I would not attempt that. But I am going to be speaking on a topic that is so dear to me, and I hope it becomes so precious to every single one of us here. And that is the topic of worship. As I went through the course, the Lord gave me a verse that I carry around in my Bible now. And I have it on my fridge to remind me all the time. And the verse is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Amen. The title of today's message is All Together Now? Let's Worship. Let's Worship. You know, one of the most controversial topics would have to be the topic of worship. It really would have to be controversial because people feel that for some reason or other, worship is a personal thing. It's between me and my God. Well, we're going to learn today that that's not the case, that worship is very public. It's an action. It's not just quietly feeling the presence of God as you enter into prayer or worship. It's more than that. The very first murder that was occurred in the Bible was over worship. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 3. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So why didn't God accept one offering but accept the other offering? Well, I can just picture Abel and Cain. Abel was so in love with God, he took time to prepare his offering. I don't know how long it took, but he prepared his offering. You can see that. But Cain, I don't know, he might have thought, oh dear, look at the time. It's time that I go and worship God. I have nothing to bring. What am I going to bring? I'll just bring some plants and put it down as an offering. You see the difference here? Cain didn't have it in his heart to come and worship God, but Abel did. He took time and he prepared the firstborn. From the very beginning, we can see in the Bible that God laid out a plan for worship. His desire has always been to be with his people. I want us to take a little time now to look at praise and worship. I am not a Hebrew scholar, so if I mispronounce the names or the words, please forgive me here. Okay, the first one, Jesse. I think it's pronounced Toda, an extension of the hand with thanksgiving, a confession, a sacrifice of praise with thanksgiving for something not yet received. Praising our God with expectation, coming through the doors expecting something from God, but also expecting to give to God. This is not the lifting up of hands trying to coerce God, as some think that this is. I'm going to praise you, Lord, until you give me an answer to my prayer. But it's praising in expectation that our God, who knows what's best for us, is going to answer our prayer in his way, in his time. And until he gives the answer, we're going to continually praise the Lord. That's what this worship is. Can you put the quote up there, Jesse? True worship that is pleasing to God creates within the human heart a spirit of expectation and insatiable longing. That was by A.W. Tozer. The next one we're all very familiar with is halal. To boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish, to sing praise. Psalm 150 is a good example of that. And Jesse, you'll prepare. No, you won't prepare. Sorry. I'm changing things over sometimes here. Psalm 150 is a very good example of halal. Hallelujah is where we get the word. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. And continually on praising. I was going to have Jesse put on a song, but it just... because the video wasn't available, it just didn't, you know, you'd probably wonder what's going on here. And what it was a song called This Is How We Overcome. And it's a very boisterous song. And as they're coming in, everybody in the congregation is celebrating. I don't know what the celebration was for. They never said. But they were definitely celebrating. And the singer was saying, you have turned my morning into dancing. And everybody was turning and everybody was dancing. As a matter of fact, the video camera just came out, the camera came out, and they showed a little girl who was right in the very front. She was in a wheelchair. She could turn that thing faster than anybody could spin around, and she was spinning around. She couldn't dance, but she was spinning around. You have turned my morning into dancing. You can't look at halal without looking at David in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David was so happy that the presence of God was coming back again. The Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Israel. He was so happy about this that he went before the Ark of the Covenant and he danced with all his might. He just danced up a storm there, just praised the Lord. There was one person, however, who was looking down from above. She didn't become part of the procession. She just looked down in judgment on her husband. And when he came in, she more or less told him, "You look like a fool out there." And you know what he told her? He says, "I don't care. I didn't dance for you. I didn't dance for the people around me. I danced before the Lord." And that's what counted for David. Jesse, would you put the quote up there? So we can never stand in judgment of somebody as they're worshiping the Lord or praising the Lord. Might be a little different from what we're used to, but don't judge. Just allow them to worship as they see fit. The most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance. C.S. Lewis. Zamar. To make music, to celebrate in song, to sing psalms. The quote, Jesse? Next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given to us. Martin Luther wrote that. That was years ago. Shabak. To address in a loud tone, to shout, to command glory and triumph. Jesse, as you're getting the video ready there, the song that you're about to hear, is the title of it is called Raise a Hallelujah. And the story behind this song is that this little boy in the church became very, very ill. They had to rush him to the hospital just before Christmas. This was just a few years ago. And it didn't look good for the little boy. It looked very bad. So the fellow who wrote the song, he went home. His church was praying. He went home and he started to pray. And then he got a text message from the father of the child that it was touch and go for the night, that he might not make it through the night. And this guy became so scared. He started to weep, and he became so frightened of what could happen. The Holy Spirit led him to the piano, and he and his wife put this song together. Jesse, would you go ahead and play it?
A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My
When he introduced this song to the congregation, the father of the boy was out in the congregation. They were all standing there. And the father of the boy was out in the congregation. And guess what? The little boy was on top of his shoulders. And he was praising just as much as anybody else. What a wonderful thing to have watched, to watch that live. Matthew chapter 4. We see the devil coming after Jesus when he felt that the Son of God was at his weakest point. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I've given to you, if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve or worship." I personally don't believe that Jesus whispered these words to the devil. I believe he spoke loudly and with all authority. The devil is still scheming today to take away the worship from the church. He does not want the church to worship. He doesn't want us to realize the power in praise and worship in our own personal lives and also within the body of Christ. So he wants us to be silent. He wants us to be quiet. Shouting praises to God in the face of the enemy and using God's word in faith reveals to the enemy that God has already defeated him, and we will give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. The next one, Jess. Pronunciation, Pastor, on that one? Tehillah. Thank you. Laudation, song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song. This is when all the words that are up on the screen are just not enough to express what's in our heart. Some churches call it singing in the spirit. Some churches call it free worship. It's just letting go and letting your voice sing what's in your heart, because that's what worship is all about. Jesse, would you put the quote up there, please? I love that what Psalm 23 says, that God is actually enthroned upon these praises. He's enthroned upon these praises. Praise is the rehearsal of our eternal song. By grace we learn to sing, and in glory we will continue to sing. Charles Spurgeon. I'm rushing through these because I'm looking at the time and I'm going, wow. Yada, to revere or worship with extended hands, to hold out the hands, to throw them or cast them out. And I believe this is when you just get to the point, oh God, be merciful to me. God, help me in this situation. You just lift up your hands and surrender and you throw them up. There's nowhere else to turn, just to God. So you just throw up your hands and worship. Barak is to kneel to bless God as an act of adoration. The pastor spoke about this last week. Would you put the quote up, Jess? But just as the lifting up of hands is a symbol of confidence and longing, so in order to show our humility, we fall down on our knees. That's John Calvin. Worship is not just a musical activity. You know, we know that we can use all these forms of praise and worship. We can be lifting our hands. We can be dancing in joy. We could be kneeling before, bowing before our Lord. But we're not really worshiping. There's something I'm missing when you're just doing these acts. But these acts are all intertwined with worship. Because the thing is that you can praise without worshiping God. But you can't worship without praising God. You see, Worship is an act. It's something that you do. Whether you're lifting your hands, whether you're kneeling before the Lord, whether you're singing from your heart. I love what Darlene Check said in one of her lessons, and that is that music is beautiful. It's a gift from God to all of us, and we love music. Music helps soothe the soul. When you're going through a hard time, you know, you put on your favorite worship song or whatever, and you just listen to it and you sing along with it. But that's not worship. You see, the difference between music and worship, and the thing that will tip worship, music over into worship, is your heart. Bringing your heart into it. That's the difference between just coming here and looking at the words and saying, yeah, I like those words, or no, that song's not for me. I didn't care for that one. You bring your heart into worship, and it won't matter the song, because your heart is there. Your heart is there. Really confusing, Jesse. I'm going way off here. Last week, the pastor mentioned there was a cost to worship. I want us to think about the cost to Abraham now. In Genesis chapter 22, I'll just give you an oversight here. You can go home and you can read this. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham was given so much from God. He was so blessed. And he finally received the son that he longed for so long, Isaac. And everything was going just great for Abraham. And then all of a sudden, God said to him, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Ho. Really, I mean, think about that with your own children. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham took his son. He and some servants went along, and he said, turn around to his servants when he got to the mountain. He said, you wait here. My son and I are going up to worship. We'll be back down later. This is the first time in the Bible that worship was translated in English as worship. Before, it was sacrifice, offering. But the first time that it's mentioned as worship has to be the most beautiful moment when you stop to think about it. Because Abraham was willing to give everything. Just give it all up because God asked him to. So he was going up there to offer up his son. We know what happened. We know that God said stop. And then God provided the lamb, which is a foresight of what was going to happen. That God would offer up the lamb for us. Worship is an act of obedience to God's word with our hearts. It's an act of obedience. Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there is your heart. God has set in his word how we come before him with praises and how we move forward in worship with our hearts true to him. There is no me. There is no I in worship. It's not a personal possession. There's no me, no I. It's only God. It's only giving God the glory for everything. Congregational or corporate worship requires that we be in unity. And that will make us stronger as we worship together in unity. Together. Where Jane read, let's go back there in Revelation again. The four living creatures, verse 8 in chapter 4 of Revelation. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes round and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The four living creatures work in unison together. They don't wait for somebody to start. They work in unison in worship. They don't say, I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like it today. They act in unison. And Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Can you imagine if one of the 24 elders just sat there and said, This is not my day for worship. I think I'll just sit here on my throne. He's got 23 who can just worship. It's not necessary that I go. I mean, it's absurd to even think about. Now, this is the greatest one, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, if I had one person stand up and read that, and then two people, and then three people, and then half the congregation, and then the whole congregation, it would get kind of loud in here. But this is a countless number of people there, and we're there. We're there. You're there. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're there. And you're crying out, and you're shaking heaven, and you're shaking earth, because millions upon millions upon millions, I don't know how many over the years, are all crying this out together with a loud voice. You think I'm getting loud? You're going to be even louder than me. Oh, the holy roar in heaven. Praise the Lord. So what's preventing us now from worshiping as they worship in heaven and as we're going to worship? So what's preventing us? Well, I think a lot of it has to do with attitude, our attitude. Some of us, it could be age, our attitude about our age. I've served the Lord for so long. I've done this for so long. It's time for somebody else to take over. But you know, stop to think about how old Moses was. He's got you beat, folks. Stop to think about how old Abraham was. I mean, wow, he's got you beat there. You see, there's no age requirement for worship. None. We all worship, whether old, in between, or the very young. We're all required to worship God. Second is pride. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That really is. I was watching a seminar, and this pastor was speaking, and I guess there was difficulty in people lifting up their hands together in unison in praise and worship. So he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn down the lights in the congregation. So they turned down all the lights, and they started to praise the Lord. And he says, now lift up your hands. You see, the person next to you can't see you. The person behind you can't see you. The person in front of you can't see you. So go ahead. Be obedient to the word of God and just lift up your hands unto the Lord. What other people think of you really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. What matters is that we're obedient to the word of God, and we bring all of our praise and worship and love and adoration unto God, all of it, no matter what anybody will think. And shyness is another one. Well, you know, shyness is pretty close to pride. It's worrying about what other people are thinking. Worshiping God is humbling of self and exalting God. Worship is not singing the latest or the greatest, most top 10 favorites of the world or the most top 10 favorites of the church. It's not the words of the music. It's not the notes of the music. It's what's in your heart that you bring to God as you sing the words. That's what counts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And service is worship. I guess today is a football day. So this quote, I didn't know. I don't follow football. But this quote is, I don't think I put it up there, Jess. It's Dr. Graham Truscott has compared worship with football. He describes American football as 50 million people needing exercise, watching 22 people who need rest. What I'm trying to get at here is worship is not a spectator sport. It's not. And when I think of spectator sport, I think of as Moses was going through the wilderness and God was calling the people up into the mount. And, you know, they look up at the mount and they see the clouds, the lightnings, the thunder. And they go, no way am I going up there. Moses, you go up there for us. You go up there and you listen to what God has for us and we'll listen to you when you come down. Look what they miss out on. Look what they missed out on. Moses came down, so much of the glory of God upon him and upon his countenance that they had to veil his face because the glory of God just shone. That's what they missed out on, being in the glory and the presence of God. And they sent a man to do it for them instead of they themselves. And you know, from then on, they had to have somebody worship for them. From then on, a priest was appointed. A priest was appointed to go into the Holy of Holies for them. But we don't have to do that because Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, has split that veil in two, and we can all enter into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies, and worship Him. All of us. There's nothing holding us back. Jesus said, it is finished. I've made the way. There's nothing holding you back except yourself and except myself. That's all that holds us back from the presence of God and from worship. And you say, well, I worship my way. Well, I'm saying, no, you can't worship your way. God laid it out in his holy and precious word, how we are to worship him. Now, I just gave you a few words. If you want to do a study on worship, you know, you're going to be studying Hebrew and Greek for a long time because there's a lot of worship going on in that Bible. And all of it is for us, all of it. So, I just want to wrap this up. We come here to worship God as a body of believers. Each of us. We come in the doors as individuals, but when we enter into the doors and we're seated, we become a body. We become a body. This is the most exciting passage of Scripture. You know, we say when there are two or three people are here, sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you know that God is singing over us as we're singing to him? Almighty God is so pleased with our worship to him that he's singing over us. If that doesn't give you joy in your heart, I don't know what will. Almighty God singing to you over us. We come here, we worship, we listen to the word of God. That's an act of worship. Everything we do as we come into the doors is an act of worship. We know that. We come, we place our offerings, our tithes and our offerings. We worship by singing, acts. There's different ways of worshiping. And some people will have their hands raised. Some people might be toe tapping and maybe someday some people will be dancing. And then we listen to the word of God, what the Holy Spirit has for us. And we get filled and we get equipped for going out those doors and going out into the community. Not so that we can keep it to ourselves. That's not what it's for. That's not what we're coming here for. Yes, we're coming to worship him. We're coming to hear from him. We're coming to receive from him. We're going out those doors, and then we're going to go into a community that has much need of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we share his love with the elderly. That's worship. We share his love with the widow. That's worship. We share his love with the young person struggling with alcohol and drugs. That's worship. We share his love for those who are hungry and need of food. That's worship. We share his love with the lonely. That's worship. Darlene Check was saying that one time she was in Rwanda, where they have a missionary there. And she was going, and you know Rwanda, of course, over a million people were slaughtered. And she walked the streets, and there was this little boy, about 4 years old, and he was sitting down in the sand, and he was crying. The tears were just coming down his face, and he was crying. So she sat down in the sand with him and just started to play a little bit. And then all of a sudden, she just started to sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And he lifted up his eyes for the first time and looked at somebody for years, for a couple of years. And he looked at her in the face, and the tears were just coming down his face. That's worship. That's taking what God gives you and sharing with others. That's worship. In everything we do for Jesus. Everything. And as we give ourselves to his will, we will return here next week prepared to offer Jesus the praise and worship collectively. And it'll become stronger and stronger and stronger as we go out and we share what God has with us. We come in and God will fill us more and more and more as we go out and we meet more needs. Because you know what? Worship is not selfish. Worship is totally giving. And as we come back here after a week of doing our worship with the Lord, we'll have caught just a tiny, tiny glimpse of what the heart of Jesus is really like. A servant's heart. That's our King. The one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess he is Lord to the glory of God our Father. I've asked Jesse to play a song, and the title of the song is Linger. And I just want us to just quietly listen to the song. Yep, the words will be up here. And then Pastor is going to take over the service here from here.